that?
What's up, fool? What's up, fool podcast? Welcome, everybody, to the What's Up, Fool podcast. We got Rodrigo Torres right here, co-host of the year of the 909.
What's up? 951. Bienvenido.
They changed it, huh?
Yeah, they changed it
because
like
of the show.
The OC.
The OC. They don't represent.
Some fool showed up to the party at the OC, and then they're all.
They made fun of the 909.
They took a gun out, and then a girl's like, oh, they must be from the 909.
We got Tom Petty in the house.
Giving you that idea.
Throwing those elbows, huh?
Andy Steinberg right here.
A.K.A.
Me, Andy Steinberg, I'm with Aries on the Jew and the Jerk.
You guys are doing
a new podcast, right?
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah.
Aries Spears, fool.
Yeah, man.
Matt TV.
Man, the myth, the legend.
He really came out of Jerry Maguire, bro. Like, motherfucker, who he knows. I was in it.
It's an extra. Oh, my God. Fast forward
spot. Yeah, our podcast is still in the infancy stage. We're not even 2 years old. We're almost 2 years old.
How many episodes you guys got going?
87.
That's a lot.
Really? That's good, dude.
That's not infancy anymore.
Yeah, you guys are fucking blowing it up for 2 years, 87.
13 more, you do the 100 podcast live.
Yeah. Celebrate, I guess.
Yeah. We're live.
So that's the Jew and the Jerk, Spears and Steinberg, a.k.a. the Jew and the Jerk.
How'd you guys meet?
You know what, man? I was, you know, he was showing up to a lot of the comedy clubs that I was doing in the California area.
I hear Brea, the style of this shit.
Yeah, Brea, Ontario, Irvine. And
I know technology.
You kept going up. And, you know, one thing led to another. We started talking, and I let him in. I initiated
him.
It's funny though because like there's a lot of hangers on all the time trying to you know little flies
somebody
on the wall.
Shit, though.
Yeah, and they don't know shit. Ain't gonna benefit you anything. And finally, somebody cracked your little.
I had jokes.
Your dungeon.
Yeah.
I was hanging around with Joe Barone, bro. He lived in Inglewood. He was going to my pad. So I went to his pad, and he lived like in a garage back house of someone's house. And we're there, man, just eating like a quesadilla and hitting small bowls and a drive-by shooting right outside.
You smoke?
Weed,
Oh, I got to fuck with
you. There was a drive-by shooting right outside, bro. And I remember I recorded here talking about it. What happened, bro? Bro, it was douche. You know, people in the hood only know how to describe exactly the sound of the bullets.
Perfect sound effects.
It's part of the ambiance,
motherfucker had a silencer.
Yeah. Uzi is good morning, baby.
So somebody always knows how to describe it, like, but he never tells that story to the cops. Like the cops,
well, you know, stitches. Is that what?
Hell no.
I didn't see nothing. But
snitches get stitches. You know they can't talk to the popo.
Get lumped up.
But in front of the neighborhood, he fucking doing. He has hand puppets,
reenactments.
He has an audience.
Growing up, did you have weird people growing up like characters? I didn't know you started comedy so very young.
Yeah, bro.
Bro, I saw a video of you from there. Like somebody been busting out the old Def Jam, bro.
Well,
on TV, not paying nobody.
I bought the collection of Def Jam's greatest hits.
Yeah, man.
So that means you started comedy at 14 to get that good.
Well, I don't know how good it was, but I knew what I knew at that time.
But
that
was a dice fan.
Bro, that set was the starter pack for anybody going to do sounds.
Well, I was on my little Eddie Murphy shit. You saw I had my leather gloves, and I wasn't going to wear all leather suit. That would have made it too obvious. So I stuck with the all denim, and then I just kind of tricked out with the leather gloves a little bit. Yeah, so that was going through my Eddie Murphy phase.
Was that Eddie Murphy and Dice?
Eddie.
You were
more
the first one to do Dice, huh?
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny because, I mean, the guy who does them to perfection.
Right here, bro.
I would love to hear it.
Yeah.
With shithead with Steinberg, man.
That was Dice on a stroke, nigga.
I got Dice story for
Anthony,
your ass, dog.
Anthony from Opening Anthony does an amazing Andrew Dice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about Dante? Remember Dante?
He used to do Andrew Nice Clay.
Andrew Nice Clay.
Dante.
Italian Dante.
Yeah. Dante did some good impressions, man.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
He should do the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
That was his whole...
The scientist name from Back to the Future?
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, he did a good one.
Yeah,
was Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
was bananas.
Yeah. I would like to buy a wow.
It was that. It was some of that.
That was
yeah.
good,
Marty McFly.
He does a great Sam Triple H shit now. Sam Gandolfini.
James Gandolfini. I don't know any of his name.
I don't know I want to do Joey Coppola's Neil's cocksucker.
That's good.
I'm fucking up the name right now.
that's pretty good. Yeah.
Oh my God, this fool.
Was Joey? Are you gonna do is throw a date out there, some crazy ass name you grew up with, and then like where you were at?
Joey actually did Mad TV. Man, he played Pussy Bompicero on the Mad TV sketch we did for the Sopranos on the PAX Network. Yeah. So yeah, he actually came through a couple times, man. Dude, man. Is this supposed to be this quiet?
It's an awkward pause.
I told you were going to ask something, but you're standing at this.
I was waiting on Andy.
I didn't have anything.
So you started when you were 16 years old?
Yes, 14.
What was that, 14? What was that like? Because you're like a young kid, man, seeing big shots, bro.
You know what, man? I came up with a lot of the dudes in the Jersey, New York area. Bill Bellamy, Hamburger Jones.
And a lot of Hamburger.
And a lot of motherfuckers that didn't – everybody didn't graduate.
That's Norm McDonald's favorite comedian.
Is it really?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, Hamburger.
I would never have known that.
Yeah, man. I saw it somewhere, and it was favorite comedian with Hamburger.
Yeah. I never would have known that. But, yeah, we all came up together, man, and me and Bill was kind of the other – the only dudes from the Jersey, New York area to kind of move on, so to speak. So, yeah, man, it's surreal because you look back at those old Def Jams and you could see everybody's newness.
Yeah.
Like we had some of those ticks, you know, of nervousness. Like Bill would say 100 times, yo, that's crazy, right? As he would do his set, he would just say every couple of words, yo, that's crazy, right? And you know, we all had our little things. And now when you look back at it from then till now, it's like we all kind of like jazz musicians now. We just kind of flow now. It's not so much that nervous energy. You know what I mean? So
Who was on your show the first time you went up on Def Jam?
Ellen Cleghorn, Arnaz J, myself, and I can't remember the last dude's name.
You better get on board, Arnaz J, remember?
Ellen Cleghorn passed away. She passed away a while ago.
No!
Yeah.
She did?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
From what?
I don't know. It was very sad.
Oh, wow.
So I made up.
Because I liked her on the SNL and she disappeared.
Wow.
I thought she...
R.I.P.
I thought she passed away. I may be wrong.
Yeah, I think you're wrong. I hope you're wrong.
No, I'm thinking of Denitra Vance, who was on SNL for only one season before Ellen Clinton.
Yeah, I was like, damn, I know I'd have heard about
Ellen.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I'm wrong.
Damn. Well, I wonder if she's taking a deep breath right now. Going, oh,
you got the wrong dead niggas with you.
No, I was sorry. It was
Tim Conway, Doris Day. Everybody's coming out like, yeah, man, I remember Tim Conway. Like, I don't remember Tim Conway.
Did he pass away?
Yeah.
Yes, yesterday, I think.
Same as Doris Day.
Yeah. I thought she'd been gone.
I thought she was gone.
In Hollywood, you know, she would have been dead a long time ago.
After laughing at that Social Security check.
Oh, my God.
Did she want no funeral? No flower, no nothing, bro. She just want nothing, bro.
That's she it. Left her money all the animal projects, animal charities.
Right? Meanwhile, I want to be a bird. I want no celebration either. Just ashes, and I want everybody to grab ashes and just throw it in people's faces like that.
Can I roll yours up and smoke them?
Hell yeah!
I want to see what Felipe tastes like going down.
A lot of scrape.
Right. That didn't come out.
That didn't come out at
that
all.
That didn't come out. Right.
You don't want that big ass casket? Everybody holding it?
Yeah, man. Hell no casket, bro. If you see that video, man, of that they buried a Puerto Rican guy in Puerto Rico, but his wake, he was standing up.
Mm.
Because that's how they did in the old cowboy days,
man.
Yeah,
like, yeah. They used to lean him up just a little bit.
They would just lean him standing up.
But those were varmints, right?
Bad
people.
No, everybody, right?
Everybody?
Like, I guess when they had a wake,
would have a wake to make sure the person was really dead.
Because they'll just show these fools fucked up in the town.
They were not laying down, though. They were standing up, right? Yeah. So at this funeral, this Puerto Rican guy was just standing up, bro, like this. And his homies are passing by. No joke, bro. They're giving him fist bumps.
Yeah, but they had sunglasses on that fool. And little crisp fitted.
I want to ask both y'all some...
what up, dog?
Some Hispanic questions.
Diga knows.
Somebody recently asked us on our podcast, who's the funniest Latin comedian, do you think? And listen, we're not... Please, where the camera? Nobody's...
Right there.
Like trying to judge anybody, you know what I mean? All that
just,
bullshit.
We got some metiches right here. Gonna go run and tell, bro.
he said you.
All right.
I said you and Nick Guerra.
Yeah. So I want to ask
who's Nick Guerra?
I don't know if that was a ding.
That was.
Oh, it was.
Ding, ding, ding.
I know who that is.
In your opinion,
you got choked by Willie Barcena.
Yeah.
But in your opinion,
how you doing?
And you can count yourself. Who's the nicest?
The nicest Latino or nicest comedian?
Nice Latino comedian. Who would you say is just
You mean
sick.
Who's famous?
No, just
or
just
like well known.
Skill wise,
I would say Paul Rodriguez.
Skill wise
can rip a room.
Paul Rodriguez?
Dude, Paul Rodriguez that one time in Hawaii was fucking on fire. That was
last year, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where would you put yourself in that list?
I think this fool's gathered up with those fools.
They used to be the top 50 Latino comedians, and I remember I was 39, bro.
You were right before the list? Last. Joey Medina.
No, but the top 10 at the time was Paul Rodriguez, George Lopez, Carlos Mencia, Paulo Francisco, I don't know who else, bro.
It was Carlos Mencia.
And then there was Taylor Negron and Greg Giraldo.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of people, a bunch of Culture Clash. And then a bunch of other people. And then blah, 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 blah. And then in the bottom, I was 49, actually.
You were like one from the end.
49.
And only one person came up with
that list? That was like 1999,
nobody makes these lists anymore. Yeah.
You make that list, then people will start fighting.
And there's barely any Latinos on the top 10 comedians you should watch anymore. Like Marcella shows up every once in a while.
Yeah.
Here's my second question. When that whole...
Paulo Francisco, I would say the funniest deal. He makes me laugh.
Dude, that motherfucker rip a room apart.
Though. In a world... One man,
still, you
one
think?
City.
still? I think when he's not like whatever's happening with him, but when he's on, he's fucking on.
The audience who's seen the same act six times still laugh.
They don't give a fuck.
I can't they're like, watch
going, like, they're fucking drunk.
They can't even wait, dude. Because I've heard people talk shit about that, but you know, whatever, dude. I've fucking seen that fool rip it up, dude.
Yeah. I seen Paul Rodriguez working, bro. We did a show and they ended up being in the daytime. We didn't know. And it ended up being outside, bro, at this big old music fair. War was late. Tierra, Malo, all these Latino lowrider acts. And then Paul Rodriguez goes up first, and I'm like, watching him. Man, that fool just took the microphone, and he started walking around the audience, bro.
You know what?
And finished. He did 25 minutes. His 25 minutes. Instead of, like, being on stage complaining, bro, he just started walking around the audience like fucking Oprah, bro. Started asking questions. Saw his time. Got off the fucking stage. See you good night, eh?
Worth that
what
shit
you
like
gonna look for a hot-ass 45-year-old?
When that Carlos Mencia shit went down, did you feel a certain kind of way?
I felt like a shame, man, that I never got my joke stolen from him. Like, who am I? Do I suck?
And what are you looking for?
We're too young.
Just in a sense, like, you know, the whole thing about him not really being Mexican. And
I feel like at the time like I was like a young comic. Type of
thing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, did you still see him as, yo, this is a bad motherfucking comedian, or did your view change?
Oh, I saw that fool perform.
Because he was a ripper. Like, he ripped swoons.
Yeah. It didn't change on me. Because there's a lot of motherfuckers that steal too, and they don't get called out, dog. And people say all that bad shit about him.
Right.
But, I mean, there's motherfuckers that were doing it on TV shows, and they don't fucking get blasted by the guy that blasted on them.
Right.
There's a lot of fucking, two-sword shit on it.
Right, people
talk shit, oh, he's a Honduran or whatever the fuck. But, dude, he grew up in the Maravilla Project. He was raised by a Mexican mom, and he was representing for Mexicans. Okay. Whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I still got mad respect for him.
I've seen him rip 2.5 hours before just, like, with nothing. Just having a good time, having fun, not... Fuck, just being him.
But it's cool to say he's a thief and everybody gets in those circles and, you know, rah, rah, rah.
Still around.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. He's still selling out two weekends of fucking.
It's funny. I always tell people, man, like, you know, everybody, every comic has a congregation. And even when you said people that go see Pablo and they've seen it six times, how many times have you seen your favorite movie?
Right,
the Big Lebowski.
And one thing I felt about Carlos, though, was his openers didn't have his back, dog, and then, like, threw him under the bus after all that bullshit happened.
Right.
And I've heard fucking motherfuckers talking shit about, like, his openers stole jokes from other motherfuckers and gave them to him, and he was the actual thief, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that happens, too.
Or his writers on the TV show, which happens a lot of TV shows. Yeah. When you're in the room and you need to come up with a joke as a staff writer, you'll pull from anybody's set. Yeah.
Do you think in terms of cultures, what's harder, white crowds or Latino crowds?
Fuck,
the only reason why I ask that is because I think Latinos and blacks are so similar in the way we respond to humor sometimes. So that's why I'm asking you that. Because I have an answer for that from my side of things.
I think it's the Latino crowd.
When
you don't get them because they're quiet, dog. They're not going to heckle you like brothers do.
Well, then that's like white crowds. They don't really.
But white crowds is different. You can like fucking at least fucking, you know, they'll give you a pat on the back. Like, you know what I mean?
White crowd will chuckle and then at the end of the show, you killed it.
Yeah, dude. Right. Like,
they don't even laugh hard, but they're like chuckling. Ha!
Laughing, watching.
You were the best one.
When you say Latino crowds are quiet, what do you mean?
They don't heckle you. Like, they're just waiting for you to keep fucking up.
But you know, they only heckle you after they know who you're, after you're famous.
Oh. Yeah, they're not going to talk to you.
I was about to say, you're fucking famous talk,
and they love you. And they'll talk to your whole show once you're famous and once they love you.
Yeah, yeah.
But, if you're unknown, they will challenge your ass.
They don't even give a fuck.
And they'll heckle you. Like, I used to do a show in Montebello, California. It was a Latino, Mexican crowd always. And as I got better as a comedian, that audience got better at heckling.
Oh, hell yeah.
So once I had a 25-minute set, these guys were fucking yelling out good fucking heckles.
And that was a paid crowd.
Yeah. They were paying $5 to get
in. Yeah, it wasn't like it was fucking free shows.
We had a line around the block.
Fuck yeah,
I saw careers end up there, bro. Well, how about
your alarm?
Oh, shit, my alarm.
And what's your answer?
I'm my host.
You know, I always say, I notice white crowds applaud effort. Like, if a comic come up, don't really say nothing funny, but he put a lot of energy in the joke, or he goes on a profanity-filled rant, white people simultaneously go, woo! And I go, niggas don't give a fuck about effort. First of all, we mad we paid to get in this motherfucker. Then you forced us to buy two drinks. Niggas want results. We treat jokes like a buffet. Next joke, motherfucker. You don't build no points, man. You know, and I kind of felt like Latino crowds might be the same way.
That's true. Like, you're just as good as your last joke was. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's true when you're up there sometimes.
The only time I've ever played a majority heavy Latin crowd is, I forget what radio station used to do it, but they used to do the big festival.
Up north?
San Jose. Outside.
Shoreline.
Yeah. And some of them wild Latinos in there be wild as a motherfucker. Yeah. You tell these niggas got felonies. So you like, you know, and they'll let you know.
You did a big show there with Chappelle, right?
And
Shoreline?
No. I did the Garden with Tracy Morgan.
Oh,
in New York, I think a year or two ago.
You were on that show,
you did that, right?
You were on that show too.
In New York,
yeah.
With Bill Bellamy
and Dean Edwards, and yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
That's right.
And not Dean Edwards. It was D-Ray.
Tracy Morgan was hosting.
Yeah, you was in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Holy shit!
I went after the guy with the hat.
Don't want to
talk about being attacked by a monkey.
Ricky?
No, young comic. No, he's an old comic. But I follow a black girl, Roxy or Roxy. She had a big afro.
I don't know.
Okay, then.
I like the that you
Dominique.
And watch Dominique. You have all those
Dominique.
Answers.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I have to have all the answers.
That was cool because after that show, I got to tour with Mike Epps for the whole year.
No, you just did like 4 months.
Well, I felt like the whole year.
What's this relationship?
That's my wife.
Oh, shit.
It was 4 months in a row.
It was 4 months in a row. It was like January to April.
So you tell my stories then.
No, I'm just saying. It wasn't a year.
It felt like a year.
It felt like 9 months, cocksucker.
Here's my last question. Because I'm curious about Latin life.
Go for it, boy.
How come Latin women wear prom dresses to the laundromat?
Because those are like immigrants.
Well, you had your joke.
A joke that they're my immigrants. You know, cause we were poor. We didn't know, man. We didn't know styles. You know, because my father would. Our Latino dads don't plan shit like, hey, we're going to go to the zoo, wear this. So we coming out of church, and all of a sudden, man, my mom wearing fucking wedges at Disneyland and shit.
Mm.
So it's just a surprise attack. You know, like we'd be having a wedding, bro, and that's for the wedding. My dad decided to take us to fucking Magic Mountain and shit. So we look like fucking the proms at the fucking Magic Mountain. But that's basically what it is, man. We don't.
And because I'm from New York, so I grew up in Manhattan, and then coming out to L.A., I didn't know that. How come Puerto Ricans and Mexicans beef so much?
Well, first
they
of all,
hate each other. I hate each other.
They about hate.
No, it's a hatred, dude.
We don't need enough.
That's like Trinidad De La Hoya. There was a hatred there.
Yeah, there isn't enough Puerto Ricans in L.A. to hate them that much.
Yeah.
We replace them with Salvadorians.
Yeah, the only hate I've seen is when Puerto Ricans play Mexicans in movies. You know what I mean?
You tell the difference?
Hell yeah.
Okay, that's coming from my ignorant view.
Look at Selena. That was J-Lo. You know, fucking homeboy's brother in La Bamba is fucking, what's his name?
Lou Diamond Phillips?
No, the Lou Diamond Phillips. What's his name?
Isai.
Yeah, Isai Morales. Isai. He's a Puerto Rican.
Because every time
Lou Diamond Phillips is Filipino.
Yeah, Filipino or something else.
But nobody got as mad at him for playing a Mexican guy as they did at J-Lo for playing a Mexican.
Right.
Because all I ever hear is it's almost like Puerto Ricans look down on Mexicans.
They may try, but it's like, give me a break, dog.
Okay.
Maybe because they're American.
Hey, we have electricity, bro, so.
But I think those are older cultural norms too. Really? Though. They're not like fucking like newer generations don't carry on all that bullshit. But I mean, okay. Everybody, once you're Spanish speaking, you get hate on anybody. I mean, right. It's fucking human nature. I mean, right. That's what I believe.
Got you.
Yeah, man. Like no agenda. It just depends like what generation. Like my dad's generation will be, oh man, those are Caribbean Latino. They don't even count.
Yeah. Oh. God, it's amazing to find out, even though you're the same. You're not the same, but bro, you're enough of the same. Why you beefing?
My special on HBO talks about that. I say like about when there's no white people in the room and no black people in the room, shit, Mexican, we'll start being racist against other Mexicans.
Right.
It's all about class, right?
But in the end, it's about class. I don't go, it's about class here. But you're going to fucking shove it with that shit.
And there's colorism, too, within your own family.
A lot of colorism just like in Latino, man.
Just like
a
in
lot.
Black families, if you have a darker brother or cousin, they get made fun of. If you have a darker brother or cousin, they get made fun of. It's the
my youngest son and daughter, mother's Puerto Rican. And so my best friend, his ex-wifey was Puerto Rican. So he go, you know, Puerto Rican light women are crazy. That stereotype, they're crazy. So is that just, is that a Latin thing with women across the board?
It's a mother bullshit just, right there, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Mexican women ain't wild and crazy?
No, I don't think all of them are. I think it's how you grew up, how you are, how your
depends parents
what are.
Crazy woman yeah. you meet, though.
It's that, too, though.
Mm, okay.
I mean, how, and what's crazy? She threw a knife at you or well, she stole you know, your shit, went through your phone?
The stereotypical shit. Like, stab you.
Well, there you go. Well, stereotype.
Yeah, just stereotype.
That, then we can go
yeah.
with that.
I think it happened to one person, and that person better blame all Mexican shit. Because I know Mauricio, and he lives in Miami, and he's Colombian. He goes, nah, man, I ain't gonna date no fucking Mexican women, man. They're fucking crazy, man. But this fool's an idiot, bro. He fell asleep. He cheated on his lady. His chick sliced open a jalapeno and just fucking left and put like cut in half and put the seed part in his mouth, bro, while he was sleeping just to burn him.
Well, that beats hot grits.
But see, I think you answered the question right there, though. I think it all depends on what. Her, what that woman's man has driven her yeah. to, you know what I mean?
Any regardless woman of race, would fucking trip the fuck that. Out.
Yeah, so maybe they're more vocal about it, or they're more passionate about it,
and
or
even
whatever.
And even with race, too, like Mexicans, they've said, like, you know, racist or whatever. I think it depends on the degree of where the fuck you are. If you're a Mexican cop, you probably say the N-word. If you've been to prison, you probably see the N-word. But I don't think all Mexicans are racist against black people or say fuck.
No, not at all. You know what I mean? Not at all. And listen, as far as I'm concerned, somebody on our podcast asked us, would you have a problem with Latin saying the N-word? Because it's, you know, a lot of
yeah, how do you feel about that shit? A lot of the younger
kids.
Well, it
depends, kids right?
Like, listen.
Brazil, they probably say it all day.
From a poverty standpoint and getting fucked up from the police standpoint, we suffer some of the same ailments.
That's true.
So I would be quicker to let them say it.
Right.
Than some white dude who's saying it because he wants to be down.
But when you get someone who's Hispanic and looks like me and I say it, that's a whole different story.
Well, yeah, because, again, you look like you know jewelry, nigga.
Yeah. You know, at the same time, I see if you add that ER element to it or the right. A element to it, it's a little bit more chiller. But, I mean, we used to say it as friends, you know, the A part.
Right.
But we was like, motherfucker, please. Motherfucker, look at UPS.
I don't think the A or ER matters. That's
but we used to say it with
ourselves,
and we still say it. But I'm not going to be going out there because it's like uncouth and not
cool. It shouldn't, but depending on who's saying it, it does.
I know, but what I'm – I think the whole
– I say colors.
Well,
colors.
I think that people – the Latinos who grow up in those communities where there's
especially
a mixture
like
of –
especially like Sacramento and the Bay Area
right.
Mexicans.
I think there's
– Oakland Mexicans.
When there's a mixture in their community,
they have to say it a lot.
But I think that they feel they have the right to say it. Although on the East Coast, you see more of what Aries is talking about. Hey, we're all in the same boat here. Right, we all deal with the same police issues, societal issues, prejudice, sort of thing. Like there's a spectrum, but we all deal with some of that. So, but on the West Coast, it's different. When you come out here, the prison system has messed with the Mexican community's minds, I think, and because there's so much race cliques within these prisons, the prison system over here, they come out hating the other more so than on the East Coast. On the East Coast, I mean, you might see it now, but It's not as much hatred over there between black and brown. As
yeah, and I think, the hatred though with them being in jail has a lot to do when they're in jail. And then if you carry
but they
on
bring
that
it
bullshit,
out in the streets, and they bring it out to their families.
But
as well.
that type of racism isn't the type of or using the N word as kids on the street hanging out with you know together fucking smoking weed, fucking around, right. fucking doing their shit.
Yeah,
you know, opposed to some institutionalized racism where it's your fucking survival or you get killed if you don't fucking block your race.
Right.
Now, if you want to say the N-word comfortably, you have to go to Mexico, bro. The Tijuana bars. What do you want? Two hookers and five N-words.
Well, there's nobody there to be upset, right? It's just y'all.
Should if you're Jewish, fuck it. Negotiate.
Negotiate it? I negotiate with myself all the time.
He's 3% Jewish.
1%.
1%. What?
1%, yeah. I thought
3. I'm half and half.
What's up, fool? So what do you guys talk about? What's the podcast theme, your podcast?
You know, I think it's almost like in the sense of any other podcast where, you know, you try to talk about anything and everything. But, you know, one thing I don't like is this moisture, this moistness of political correctness we're in now. Well, so I try to be as, you know, hence the jerk. I try to keep it as honest and as brutal as I can, man, because I think that people are getting tired of all this political correctness. And it's like the prohibition era with alcohol.
Fools are madly tapered, dog.
Motherfuckers want to drink, man. You can't tell people what they can and can't say, can and can't feel.
Ever to Ahmed, bro. Somebody called the cops on him after the show.
The next day.
The comedian Ahmed.
Yeah, but what happened?
He has a joke where he says. Most of his beers are terrorist jokes, but he has a joke where he says, where's some of my Middle Eastern at? Where's all my terrorist looking people at? Then they say, Iraq, Iran. And he goes, it only takes one to tell a joke, right? And then he did another one about whatever, we should get together or whatever. And this lady, after the show, and her husband called the police, dog.
A white lady, though.
They was.
Yeah. Yeah. They said it was uncomfortable.
It was at the Off the Hook Comedy Club in Fort Myers.
I got arrested at Comics in New York for smacking a bitch's titty as a joke.
Oh, they're loose?
It was funny. It was like four black girls sitting up front, and they really all had an attitude all night. So they weren't really paying attention to the show. And at one point, I said something about, how much is the bill? They told me what the bill was. But before that, I went and I act like I was going to high-five her, and I smacked her titty. And then I said, don't worry about the bill. I'm going to pay for it. And the black girl goes, oh, no, you going to pay. You going to pay. So when the show is over and I'm out selling my merch, comedy club manager comes and goes, listen, they called the cops. They're waiting on you. And we got to arrest you. And I almost spent that night in jail, man.
For assault, right?
You had
to talk to the cops and talk out of it?
No. They booked me.
They booked you.
And then eventually I got out kind of on my own recognizance. Okay. Yeah. And eventually the shit got dropped. Never did that joke no more.
That's not words, though. That's like when you put your hands on it, though.
Listen, if Gallica can smash watermelons on you, what's the difference? You know what I mean? Almost the same.
It's not like a fondle.
It wasn't a fondle. It was a pat.
It would have been one of those back scratchers with the hand on it.
Back scratchers?
Tapped it.
But what's that hand connected to? That little hand connected to
What do you just throw it at?
I mean, I can understand them charging, but I'm glad they dropped the charges because it's bullshit.
Yeah, it was. But they had an attitude to begin with. So
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Which in a civilized society, you can't do, especially today.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a lot of beef in the black comedians? Like beef, like motherfuckers, they don't like each other, or I ain't performing. He's on stage. Henry Wells.
Hey, but he took a picture with homeboy this weekend, dog.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah, huh? No, you know Henry Wells.
No, because he couldn't stand this certain comedian. He said he stole from him. Henry Welsh.
Is that right? Henry Welsh. She's from Atlanta. And then performing, Ricky Smiley's there.
But this weekend, this past weekend, they did a show with Mike Epps, and there's two of them together, Mike Epps in the middle, and they shot the picture.
I think it's because Mike Epps is in the middle.
But my whole thing is it.
Because he opened up his bed. Yeah, right now I'm beefing with 10 rappers and one comedian.
Yeah, my beef days, if I even had any.
When you were young?
Are over. I don't even know beef, man. You know what I mean? People try to make it.
Well, we saw that video of you getting punched, bro. Honestly. He didn't get one hit in, bro.
No, nigga, I had Mayweather.
You were like, baby. Honestly, I gotta give you props.
Yeah, I was.
He didn't get nothing.
Everybody
bro.
Said that I got knocked out.
No,
I covered
you
up.
Like, you were coming up and shit.
Come on,
you
man.
Like, and here you like an angry chick.
Yeah,
he rope-a-doped. He rope-a-doped.
You rope-a-doped. You used to box, right?
I don't know if you call it boxing.
I had fantasies.
I had fantasies of being a champ.
In the art of pissing somebody off and making them snap, that's all that happens.
Yeah.
You couldn't take it, huh?
Well,
you were doing like some schoolyard shit.
Yeah, but I mentioned when I tell the story, I didn't know, dude. I thought he was a friend of Corey's. So he was like, this is my man. And if you, and I'm Corey, my man.
Right.
So
right.
if you his man, you my man.
Right, right.
And I thought that's so, what we was doing. But I hit some buttons, man, and it happened.
Yeah. Motherfuckers' emotions, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm glad I know I got that ability, man. to massage you such a way.
That's a talent, though.
You know, yeah, man.
You could have pressed charges, too, right? Just like slapping that titty.
You said, did I like slapping?
No, just like yeah. You slapped that titty, you pressed charges, you could have had him press charges.
Listen, there was two ways to handle it. And so I handled it what I thought was the best way to handle it. As opposed to the other way to handle it, which could put me behind bars,
right.
or get some people, get somebody else fucked up.
Take your money.
So you know, I'm 44
like
years old, man. I got to make chess like decisions. I can't make checker decisions no more, man.
That'd be on point, dog.
Yeah, man.
That was funny, man. Did he take his glasses off first, or he went away?
I don't even remember.
He took his glasses off. He took his glasses off. That's how everybody, when they're looking at the video, go, that was the warning, when he took his glasses off. Yeah. But he was behind you. He was behind you.
He was more to the side. He was on the side of me when it started. But then when he got up, yeah, he was more or less behind me.
Have you ever gotten into it with anybody, like in the crowd or any fight, like an actual fight or anything?
I got punched, like, off stage, but not
really?
Not during the show.
You're a big dude.
I was talking to somebody, and then... I was just talking to somebody about the bathroom, and then
somebody's lady.
Yeah, it was a Daily Planet back in the days, and then this fool ran, bro, and he fucking threw a Mighty Mouse punch at me, bro. He jumped. he jumped, bro. Yeah. He hit me on the bottom of my chin.
Here I come to save the day.
Yeah, man.
But again, that's some motherfucking emotions, right? Because someone's talking.
How long have you
lady.
Been doing stand up?
Yeah, I've been doing stand up 17 years.
Yeah, I think the longer we stay around, we get a little bit of everything at some point. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever tried to throw something at you or
motherfucker smashed a bottle on me.
Oh, really?
And
they
tried to come
at him, bro.
Because I was wondering when that little gay laws came into play,
right.
And it was two dudes right there in the audience. I'm like, what's the first date or what? And homeboy,
I remember that.
You were on the road, dog.
Yeah, somebody told me about that.
Yeah, yeah. And the motherfucker just said, "What?" He spit on me, dog.
So I'm for like, a joke?
Yeah, so I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do, dog? And I said, fuck, and I spit on that one. My guy had a good one, dog, and I spit right, dude, it hit him nasty like an egg.
Woo.
And he jumped out of his seat, grabbed his fucking 24-ounce fucking Heineken and smashed it over the guardrail over that tortillas, and then grabbed the mic stand and shook it.
That room was crazy, Aries, man. Yeah. One time we were just sitting there, we were walking into the club, and Willie Barsana was performing. And this dude came in there with his fucking lunch pail and grabbed some chick by the hair and dragged her out of the club, bro.
Wow.
It's like somebody told Don Draper his wife is fooling around at Wild Coyotes.
Caveman style.
He took a lunch break with his lunch pail, grabbed him by the hair, and dragged
him
out.
Shit, like, am I seeing what I'm seeing?
But yeah, you know what, man? That bitch was there next week, so.
Like a soldier.
Oh,
man.
She was there, man. I was doing the ropey dope in the car.
So what happened to the dude? Did anything happen? Or did
not
hell no.
Press charges on him or nothing, but they kicked him out. He wanted his money back. They didn't give him his money back. But then I went back on stage and go, man, I tried to like bullshit through a joke, and I just told the audience, man, I was fucking scared, and they died.
How do y'all deal, deal with hecklers, man? Y'all get them a lot? Drunks, just people that are just...
You get them every now and then, but people that are just super fucking drunk, they want to have a back and forth with this
I get this, like I'm doing my show, and there's a guy that's going, Philippa!
But they love you, right? It's not to be fucked up. It's
Philippa!
The only reason they got the balls to say that is because they're really fucked up.
Then they start doing bits from back in the day.
Old ass ones.
Da-da! And then it goes,
oh, God.
Then 45 minutes in, I just back kick him, eh? Yeah.
And do you have them thrown out, or you just...
I just deal with it for a while, then they pass out, then they wake up again.
Jeez.
But then, normally the people who do this, they're there with a big crowd, you know? They brought 17 people, it's his birthday, or somebody's birthday, or this guy's a big fan, he's introducing 10 people to me.
But this fool's cool about it, because he's not like, security, get him out right now, you know?
It's I'm not Joe Coy, bro.
But then I'll creep up from behind and go, hey, dog, that's enough, dude, we got to chill
Coy
the fuck out on the
Yankee. I should be more like Joe Coy, like, he asked the community before me, man, who's loud, bro, who's loud?
Oh, yeah.
Who's loud? What section?
He can walk the crowd, doesn't
he? Yeah, you got to be safe out there, man.
He's afraid if somebody sneezes. He gets mad if waitresses drop checks. You know that's what happens during the headliner set.
In his defense, a comedian, some comedians have a precise set that they just cannot sway from or jump off and talk, like the Love Master. But one time the Love Master, that
Craig Shoemaker?
Yeah.
He didn't have
headlers. He had a precise set, you know, like they know it. So I think that was Joe Coy and some comics, they have a... a set list that they go to.
How often do you veer off page?
Fuck, man.
All the time.
I get heckled if I mention the wrong town. Like, Comedy Magic Club, everything was going smooth till I said that. Whatever I said, this town, I said, you know, this town, whatever, man, right? But you know, I said, you know, Barstow, the shit town, is the shit town before Las Vegas. So I said, it's like San Pedro and fucking whatever. It's like San Pedro and Hermosa, and then half of the crowd was from fucking San Pedro. So they all stood up and shit and started yelling. So I had to do
they were laughing too.
I had to do locality jokes now about that the area.
Changed it
to get them back.
Right.
I'm pretty sure people yell out their favorite bits on your show.
You know, they want
to hear Jay-Z!
Especially at the Laugh Factory,
Dublin's.
Laugh Factory was never so bad, but, you know, on the road, they do that shit. You know, but the good thing is they do it towards the end of my set. Jay-Z. So now I can kind of give you the okay, fine. But if I'm in the, you know, trying to do what I'm doing, then that's when it's like a pain in the ass.
Were you like a party animal? Like, you ever, like, dealt, like, got crazy, like, Joey Cocodias?
Nah, man.
Never danced with the devil?
I've always been weed on the hunt for pussy.
Weed and video games?
Yeah.
That's your advice?
Because I know you like video games.
Video games, weed and pussy, man. I just, you know, I get Terminator vision. And if I go to a party, that's not so much about the music and the dancing. I'm fucking. I'm trying.
You're about sticking that
yes,
shit.
Yes.
Yeah, like
I got a sex problem.
Do you know what to say? Like when you see a chick, like you know, spot them out, like Iceberg Slim, or yeah, that bitch is that's a wounded hyena right there.
A little Dakota
know,
ring.
I just never force it. You know, if it feels right, it feels right, and if I can play a little bit of tongue tennis with them. And get my serve
what's
right.
That tongue to yeah.
This is the only fool who's been honest about this shit.
Yeah, man.
Everybody's all undercover with their sexual proclivities, dog.
Yeah, I'm a hooah, nigga.
I am a hooah, nigga.
You go down.
I pay for pussy and all of that.
You were young. Would you go down and change you just met?
Huh?
Back in the day, would you go down and change you just met? Or
No.
Or you're a beast.
No. Going down on a chick, you got to be special.
Oh, okay.
Everybody can't get that. You know, I got an acquired taste.
That's a black thing.
Hold on, sorry, El Paso. You need to shave it, eh?
Yeah, no.
Beast sorry, there. Sorry, Juarez. Sorry, Pueblo. Sorry, Syracuse.
Oh my God.
Sorry, Allentown.
Yeah, I can't.
Sorry, Dayton.
Who said I can't?
Nah.
Sorry, East Pittsburgh.
So you're out there just to toss pipe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man. You know.
Toss pipe.
And I'm not even a big fan of
getting it. Lay pipe, bro. You don't toss it.
You know what I mean? Well, you toss it when you got a big dick. When you toss shit. When you got good.
I'm over here slinging then.
That's how you do it, dog.
Yeah, and I'm not even a big fan of women going down on me. I like it. Give me just enough to get right. I'm fuck an appetizer. I like the meal. You ain't got to be down there putting in all that work. Just get me right, and I'm good.
Sometimes you get bored, honey. What do I do now?
You're looking
a tile.
Brother.
You got to do yeah.
During a blowjob?
I'm like Kramer and say, hey, man, you got some electrical work. We got to check your stucco.
You got a light bulb that's out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dog. You're still a warrior out there. That's what's up, dog.
You know, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm like an old athlete. I'm ice in the knees now. The jersey's about to get hung in the rafters.
Hilarious.
I'm ice in the knees, baby. I ain't what I used to be. You know, I used to have a rule. Like, I would never go on the road and bring something with me. I had to have a fresh piece every city. I got these last 4 years. I'm like, man, give me a bitch I can take with me. You know, I don't have the fight in me no more.
I respect that.
Are you settling down, like with somebody, or you're looking for somebody?
I'm just not on the prowl like I used to be. You know, I make my meat last longer.
You know, put it in the freezer.
Yeah, I don't have to have a fresh meal every night.
Hey, he's a deer hunter.
There we go.
He puts it in the freezer, bro. Then every once in a while, he cuts a little hoof,
a little piece.
Yeah,
a little slice.
Yeah, there we go. Conserve.
You mentioned all these names, Bill Bellamy, you know, all these people. A lot of competition, bro. How did you How did you pick it out, bro? You got Bill Ballamy there. You got fucking Eddie Griffin. You got all these big
hamburger
shots
and shit.
Hamburger.
Right. That cowboy hat.
But won't Neil have, he take the hat off, bro. It's on. You know how you doing
that. I never even really looked at it like that in terms of a competition. I just look at some of the guys who I have so much respect for and who I know are beasts in the game, and I go, how can I be that good? You know, Chappelle's a monster. Patrice O'Neal was a monster. So I just want to be able to say I can at least match that or come close. Not trying to be better than, you know what I mean? Just want to be considered one of.
Word.
You were in a series, bro, on CBS with that dude from the fucking...
Yeah, Glenn Fry. Glenn Fry.
Yeah. South of Sunset, bro. Yeah. I remember that show.
Yeah.
I always tell my wife, like no. I go, no. We were watching the Eagles sound documentary, the one I borrowed from you. He had a fucking with Aaron Spears. They were supposed to be like Miami Vice and shit.
Yeah, like more like.
But in LA,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And
what was that like, bro? To like when they got you the deal, you're excited. You like got the hose going.
You know, I said to him on our podcast, I came along at a time where they were giving out. Remember development deals?
Could you please tell these comedians what was that
so
like?
They used to lock you up to take you off the market so nobody else could get you.
Hold you, bro.
Holding deals. So like
Freddie Buckle style.
Yeah. So for the first 5 years of my career in LA. I had 1 year holding deals with every network in town, so I probably made over $1 million before I was 21.
Just being
Willie Boy said that too, bro. Not a million, but they'll give him like $100,000, $75,000.
Yeah,
Don Rivera too. I went like 7 years. They pay me not to work.
Yeah, they pay you not to work because you want to work, but they basically paying you not to work in hopes that they create something for you.
During these times, that's when they created that show for you.
Well. It just so happened that show was already being created, and at the time I signed my deal with CBS, they signed me on first, then they signed on Glenn Fry. And we just got fucked, man, because when we aired, we were up against the number one show at the time, which was Home Improvement.
Damn.
And then also up against Melrose Place.
Damn.
So the number one show and then the hottest show, and then on top of that, there was the California brush fires. So we didn't even air in California at all. And Glenn Fry was such a nightmare for the network that they just canceled us after one show.
Really?
So we shot 13 episodes, and they nixed us after one show. And at that time, dude, I was like 18 years old, and I was probably clocking 45 grand a week.
God damn.
And it was sweet, and it was a bitter end, man. But it was what it was.
What was Glenn Fry doing?
You know, when he first started the show, he wasn't the greatest actor. So
he wanted to be, though.
He wanted to be. So
he's
halfway,
like two Miami Vice episodes. Right.
So halfway during the season, he got an acting coach. Man. And he got better. So he didn't want the first couple episodes to air because he was that bad.
Really?
So he got in a fight with the network like, yo, don't air him. Let's reshoot him. They said we already paid all this money. We're going to air him. And they had a tug of war. And it got nasty. So it got so nasty that they was like, you know what? You got killed in the ratings because of Home Improvement and fucking Melrose Place. You didn't even air in California. It's not worth the trouble. And they canceled us after the first episode, man.
How can a show be called Sunset and I air in California?
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah. So
Homeboy was a Jerry Maguire too, though, right? Later on?
Yeah. He played like an agent, I think. So some sports GM or something like that. Yeah. Nice guy, though. I mean, he gave me my first LA Lakers floor seats.
Fucking Eagle right
so,
there.
Yeah, man. He, nice dude, though.
What was it like to sit in the wood?
Huh?
Or did that just hit right on the wood?
It's wild, man. It's intoxicating.
I sat right on the floor, brought up for WNBA, but I didn't feel the same.
No, it's not going to be the same.
That was an exhibition game, anyway.
Yeah. It was? Damn! Is it a real game?
It could be the championship game. It's not going to be the same.
I was sitting down right behind the photographer's thigh. Like, his thigh was right here. I was sitting next to him on
feel
the floor watching the game. I didn't have seats, bro. I was on the floor. Right?
Yeah, we were on the floor.
What's up, Rodrigo, man? Give us some Jim Gandolfini, bro.
Hey, how you guys doing? We're here with Ari Spears and Rick Rubin.
I liked it.
Whatever.
I like it. Are you a big Sopranos fan?
Enormous Sopranos fan.
Okay, I'm a Sopranos hooah. You know because I said hooah.
Yeah.
And I think I'm lining myself up to do this. I don't know. Have you heard of the Sopranos podcast?
Yeah, Pada Bing.
Pada Bing?
Yeah.
So I think we're going to do
Homeboy
that.
Homeboy from Miami.
Next week.
Told us about
it. Yeah.
Whose podcast is it?
No, two comics do it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
it's on the East Coast.
And I tell people I'm proud of it. I own both complete DVD sets, box collections of my two favorite shows, The Sopranos and Sex in the City.
Sex in the City is your other favorite
show? Are you serious?
I swear
That's
to
how
God.
You get the white chicks,
I swear to God.
I watched every episode of that show, and then I hated myself for watching it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I watched it when it aired the first time.
So
I, like,
Team Aiden or Team Big?
Team didn't
Aiden.
Watch it.
I like Aiden.
Oh, he was such a sap.
I know, but I have to root for the woman, and she shouldn't be going back to that.
Oh, Big was the man.
He was the man.
Big was the man.
He was a jerk. You know, she wrapped her whole world up in him.
Here's my question for you.
What up?
Never watched an episode.
Who was the bigger asshole, and who would you be most intimidated by? Richie Aprile or Ralph Cifaretto?
Richie Aprile. No, Ralph.
I want to see Ralph because Ralph is unpredictable.
Ralph, bro, okay. Because he takes it up the ass. It's really hard. He wants to hide that shit, bro.
And Aprile is more of a, like, he goes with the business, traditionally.
Right, okay.
That's why.
I feel Ralphie because that fool just kill you out of nowhere, bro. Like, out of nowhere, like, be laughing.
If you're not made,
stab you with an ice pick, bro.
He'll take you out spider style, good fellas. You know, yeah. They don't give a fuck about you, though.
Okay. You know what's funny about when Ralphie killed that chick in that fucking bar?
That's what I was thinking right now.
He killed that chick because you were pregnant. Right away, Come on,
get it all out, you dirty little
hula. The dude with the toupee, what's his name?
AT, fucking the guitar player from Bruce Springsteen, yeah, Steven Van Zandt.
Steven Van Zandt, who was...
Still, he goes, you motherfucker, you killed her? She's too old for those tits. Now you owe me.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, man.
Fuck it.
How could you be a dude and not like Sopranos?
Oh, you got to be fucking crazy, that is, dog. Yeah, that's like the best show ever,
are you
dude.
Kidding me, man?
You must be real Italian.
Oh, dude. You can't fuck with that show,
forget
dog.
Forget about it. What are we talking about?
And it got better, dog.
Oh, I mean, dude. The only episodes I did not like were the dream sequences.
I was just going to say that.
I like the dream sequences.
You didn't like when the fish is talking to him? Now. I like when the fish is talking to him. Because like, it
kind of bugged, dude, because it was like kind of added a comedic element to it. And then when Homeboy got, you know, when he got shot, those were kind of, that pussy. Right. But even later on when Tony got shot and they had those dream sequences, I
didn't
like that either. And I don't know who injected that in. Was it Chase or whoever the fuck it was? But that was a little trippy.
We got rid of the Romans, didn't we?
You're looking at them.
Speaking of HBO shows, and maybe you guys can answer this question because I've been begging for an answer. Can somebody explain to me what the big fucking deal of Game of Thrones is?
I was never into it, dude.
I tried.
Joe Barone tried to get me to watch it, but one day I watched an episode and it hit me, dog.
Man,
and I just watched the last one. I think it's great, dog.
I can't get past the dragons.
Everybody would say the same thing.
You have to watch
it. If you could get past the first two or three seasons,
no.
It would take you that long.
It'll
to
grab
get
you. It'll grab you
already.
It'll grab you. It got me, dog. I'm a hater with all that shit, dog.
My baby mom tried to get me to watch that, and I tried so hard. And I know it's such a hot show. You're supposed to like it.
I like it.
Oh, God, I can't stand it.
I watched it. I got into it for like three episodes, and then it was just so easy not to watch it again.
Yeah. That's why you had me watch one episode, I think, and I was like, I don't ever need to watch this again. And I don't even remember what happened in that episode.
Lisa doesn't want to bend the knee.
No.
I've not watched
it. I like reality.
I don't like watching them, but
I like real life.
I don't
stuff.
Like watching them,
like...
but I already know what's going to happen because I've seen enough YouTube videos about it. But the top five actors on that show, they make $500,000 per episode.
On Game of Thrones?
I'm yeah.
Sure
I didn't know it cost $10 million an episode and to like make.
Over a billion.
That's ridiculous.
Every SNL sketch costs has a million-dollar budget.
Wow.
Each sketch.
Mm. Each sketch, man.
Each sketch.
Ain't no corruption in that moment?
$1 million, I'm not funny.
I would just like a sketch then. Just give me a sketch.
were you on Matt TV when Artie Lang was there?
No, I came on third season. He was there the first
two. There still smell like shit over there?
Bobby Lee was still
there
on.
There was some coke.
We have Bobby Lee on the show. He told me he pooped on himself.
Yeah,
that was a regular thing with him.
Did you guys cross over on that show, or you and Bobby, or did he season was he gone
four.
Before you got there?
Well, I was there from season three to about 11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Eight years.
Yeah. That's good. So, and Bobby came a little bit later.
Oh, he was after you. Oh,
yeah, he was a train wreck, man. He was so nervous, and he was on whatever he was on, and he lacked a lot of confidence. Yeah. So, yeah, he eventually got to where he needed to be, but it was difficult at first.
He's turned his whole life around.
Yeah,
it's just like
He ain't got no love for me. He thinks I hate him, and so now he hates me, which is so fucking ridiculous.
So, wait, did
invite him over to watch Game of Thrones.
So, did you want to be a comedian? What was you talked about wanting to be like up there with Chappelle and Patrice O'Neill and all that stuff? Did you, when you came out here and you were acting and you were getting all this work, were you thinking, this is what I want to do more, the acting stuff? Or did you really still have that love for comedy,
you know,
for stand-up?
I wanted my blueprint to be exactly what Eddie Murphy's blueprint was. I
like
wanted
everything.
To do a sketch comedy show for a couple of years and have that audience follow me from TV to film and then never look back. I had a lot of side streets on the way and a lot of dead ends. So I'm still on some path, but we'll see what happens.
I got side streets, bro. I got stuck in a cul-de-sac for many years.
You had a lot of cul-de-sacs you ran into.
Yeah.
I'm on a hill that's not even developed.
Let's get back to that. You're 18 years old, man.
Yeah.
On top of the world. What happened right after that CBS show? You got another show?
You know, my last holding deal ended up being with Fox. So after almost a year of doing nothing again, I did a pilot that was kind of like the Mod Squad. Excuse me. Produced by Aaron Spelling. So it was exactly like the Mod Squad. Black cop, white girl. That didn't go nowhere. And then by the time that was almost over, Mad TV was coming into season 3. And I auditioned for it for season 1. And they wanted me then, but I was locked in his deal. So the head of Fox was such a big fan of mine. He just told the producers at Mad TV, put him on. Just put him on. And you know, that happened. I was on. Yeah.
Did you lose a lot of good opportunities when you were locked down in these deals? In limbo?
Movies. Some movies.
Yeah.
Like I was supposed to do a role in the movie Twins with Schwarzenegger and DeVito.
Damn.
And I couldn't do it. They wanted me. Bill Duke, the director of Sister Act 2, wanted me. Couldn't do it. So I lost maybe a couple of movies, a couple of TV gigs. At one point, some people from Saturday Night Live called me. But Lauren Michaels has a thing where he was like, look, if you was on any other sketch show, can't do this one. So, yeah, bad timing, man.
Well, did you audition for SNL?
I just sent a video. They didn't call back.
Did you really send a video?
Yeah, yeah.
That's when they were looking for a Latino 2 years ago, before Melissa got it.
Did you do any characters or impressions?
I did two impressions, and then they wanted original characters.
What was the impressions?
James Gandolfini.
And what was the other one?
And I did an Alec Baldwin one.
What was the original?
It's the Eric Baldwin, bro.
Eric
Baldwin?
Yeah, yeah.
You do it, bro.
I was working on it for like a couple weeks. I can't really do it now.
I saw him running around the park and
what is it like? And here's the thing.
In the city.
But yeah, that was it though.
He was chasing his kids in Washington Square Park the other day.
Below it?
No,
he's got a whole new generation of family now.
Yeah, like little kids. It's really
his
fun.
Other daughter's old.
Now. I don't want to be cheesy. This is going to come off cheesy.
Go for it, Doug.
But because I don't do this impression much, I try to want to squeeze it in there so people know I could do it. Because people always associate me with the Jay-Z, DMX, and the rappers.
Yeah,
but Paul Mooney.
Yes, I'm going to keep mentioning it here and over.
Go right. For it, homie. So I'm going to let you set me up. Paul's here. Felipe, ask a question.
What's up, Paul Mooney? I heard that you used to write for Richard Pryor. I read about it in the book.
Everybody knows I wrote for Richard. Richard was a genius. I didn't always write for Richard. I gave Richard clues, and Richard would take them. But nobody needed to write for Richard.
That is great.
Richard was his own genius, nigga.
I heard that that famous line, she's so fine, I'll suck his daddy's dick with one of your lines, and he gave you a watch for it.
This isn't true, nigga. This is not true. Richard and I were at a party, and someone saw a bad bitch, and I said, that bitch is so fine, I'd suck her daddy's dick. It was in conversation. That was taken out of context, nigga.
The cadence is perfect.
You were the Mooney twins, bro.
Yeah. Dan, you crazy the motherfucker.
That's my son, nigga. He fell from his daddy's tree. Nigga, you know what it is.
Yes, yeah,
that's great.
That's the best one.
That's the best one I've ever heard.
Oh,
that's
really?
Great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the Paul, your pacing of your words.
Oh, Paul,
the
is
way
like,
he does
and
his
Paul
words
is all very Swedish. There's sugar in his,
piano.
You know,
sugar in his tank.
When he talks, the thing about Paul is, nigga, you have to find your rhythm.
Yeah, it's all about the rhythm. It is. That's what. That's the difference right there.
Because when you say it and you make those faces, those white motherfuckers know, nigga, they know.
I've seen you work many rooms. Paul Mooney, one of the guys I work with, He told her that one night that we were smoking weed, and he told her that you sent him to Target to buy a bunch of white Hanes T-shirts. And then you stole them at the end of the show. You just wrote Palmunia on them.
Exactly, nigga. And they were white because now it was my chance to sell some white shit. That's what I do. I buy white and sell that white like white folks sold niggas. You bought us and you sold us. Get me 100 white T-shirts. I'm going to put my black name on them and sell them white T-shirts.
Make sure the men are cotton, Daddy.
Is it true that Richard Pryor used to call you Miss Thing?
Oh, Richard called everybody Miss Thing. Miss Thing. He called Robin Williams Miss Thing. That was his thing.
What's up, fool? Where can people find the podcast at?
Spears and Steinberg, a.k.a. The Jew and the Jerk, available at iTunes, Apple, Spotify, Spearsberg.com, or Google Play.
Is that Berg with an E or a U?
BERG.com. Yeah.
Did you go to the Paul Mooney tribute last night?
I didn't. I didn't even know it was happening.
I just saw pictures of Michael Collier was posting.
I didn't know he was there, though.
No, he wasn't dead. He was there, though. He'd been missing action for a long time. He's not in great health, though. He looked a little puffy.
He came and saw Aries. Where were we?
Tommy T's.
Tommy T's, yeah.
Tommy T's, bro. Give me some fucking Tommy T, bro.
You want it all in cash there, Aries? I'll go to Starbucks and I'll steal cookies.
Funny. That's funny.
Whose idea was it to put you in a thong on your special and do that little music video?
Oh, that was mine.
Because I saw that and I was like, I don't think Aries chose to do that.
Oh, no, absolutely I did. You did? I have such a hateful relationship with where rap music is now.
It was funny.
I had to take that swing.
People didn't get it, though, with
right.
that shit.
Yeah.
Man, every time I'm headlining somewhere and I see your photo, they always have the photo of you with the little boxing glove. What the fuck is that shit, dog? And I bet you send them other photos and you always grab that one.
You're
not even that big.
No, I was at that time. Well, I did that photo shoot when I was more like LaVell Crawford.
And hey, LaVell, bro.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you right now, that motherfucker don't look at me.
and so I didn't like any of those photos. That's all I had.
You're like Larry Holmes.
Yeah, nigga. Larry Holmes got that nice flat top, though. So my shit was all smooth.
Yeah, I like your LaVell, though.
Where are you originally from?
Who?
Where are you from?
Oh, New York.
New Jersey?
Grew up in New York and New Jersey. Exit 9, New Brunswick. 9. Yeah.
New Brunswick, right there where the stress factory is.
Rutgers.
Yeah. We were there, right? What's his name?
Who was it with us? Oh, Johnny Roque, no?
No, the owner.
Oh, Vinny Brown, bro.
Vinny Brown.
He was just on TMZ.
He was on TMZ. He was beefing with, what's his name?
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson left. He didn't show up.
He walked out of the sellout show.
He told us that he was there.
Yeah, because.
And he didn't go on stage.
Vinny went up on stage and gave him a bad intro.
He left after the announcement.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he say, babe?
Because in the announcement, he said,
"Don't mention my two ladies."
He said, "Nobody in the audience. You know, Vinny likes to give the announcements in the beginning, right?" And he said, "Now make sure none of you yell out like Ariana Grande or whatever his other chick's name was.
The oldest one.
I don't know the last one. Kate Beckinsale, whatever. Don't yell out any of those names." So he heard that and was like, he's not supposed to mention those names. I don't want him mentioning. Like, I guess his rep wasn't there to let Vinny know, don't mention the names. Vinny decided to let the audience know not to mention those names, but he put it in everybody's heads, and Pete was gone.
Bam.
Yeah.
don't mention my name.
That's some shit when you can just walk out of a sold-out show
weird,
and not
right?
worry about consequences and repercussions. I guess you've reached another level of fame, man.
Got that fuck you money.
Yeah, man. Oh, crazy. My goodness.
You ever done that before? Like, saw the audience and go, nah.
No. I've been on stage and had an audience so fucking terrible that I wanted to walk off.
Me too, man.
But I've never done that.
I walked off mentally sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Checked way the fuck out.
Bro, I'm doing all my bits and I'm just going like this.
Yeah,
and I'm going through the set, man.
Yeah,
I know you're talking, bitch. I'm gonna talk to you. I'm not gonna give you a shout out. Sorry, I hate when they walk up to you before the show, man. I hate seeing the audience before the show. They want to ask you stuff like, "Hey, ma'am, my wife is pregnant, man. Can you mention it? What do I mention your wife pregnant for?"
So you don't like to you go straight to the green room and
yeah
oh, I'm the opposite.
I talk to them after the show though.
He walks around before the show.
I want them to see me.
I want him. I want like prison. I want to be the baddest motherfucker in the yard. So I know who to shank, nigga. So they know to leave me the fuck alone. I love looking at the crowd before a show, sizing them up. This bitch shouldn't have that on. This nigga right here. This motherfucker's drunk. That's gonna be a problem. How do mom attack this shit? I love it, man. I love it. I watch game tape, baby.
Yeah. Get the little binoculars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you get like 10 emails before the show. Hey, it's our anniversary. Or it's so-and-so's birthday. Give them a shout-out. Like, you're supposed to remember all these people's things.
I always just tell them. I just flat out tell people, no, I don't do that.
I know, we don't. But you know. I'm just saying, like, big, people still request it.
The Tories are here.
But the only thing I don't like is when people come up to you and they go, hey, you going to be funny?
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, you here, right? Ain't you? You know what it is.
These motherfuckers are something else sometimes.
Or their friend, I had this before, this guy was a big fan, and he's like a jeweler, he sells jewels, and he invited four of his friends, and his four friends decided like to play like make me laugh, so he just sat there and not laugh, man, to get his friend mad, but then at the end they told me, man, you were funny, man, but we want to show it to him. What the fuck, eh? So I lose?
That's weird.
Right.
I'm not part of your birthday party.
Who's the type of motherfuckers that jack off to the same porno at the same time?
Come on, man.
Enough with Carmella Bing.
Where is she, dog?
Oh.
I seen her at the T-Mobile one time. This is about 5 years ago, dog. She was still all right.
Right. You're looking her up, bro. The phone number.
No.
You have her phone number?
She sent you a personal video.
I told you, I paid for pussy, nigga.
So you were back in the day, what's it called, Backpage?
Backpage used to be one of those ones.
Yeah. But not,
dude, you could do that shit on Craigslist back in the day.
Where you would get high and heckle them.
We crank called them before. As far as I go, shit.
Damn, she got big.
Yeah, she got a little big.
She got very big.
Damn.
Yeah, man, stop using that meth.
I thought meth was supposed to make you smaller.
Yeah, but
them titties is gorgeous.
So how do you know her, Playboy?
We used to do Bible study together.
Showing her to the Romans.
Tuesday and Thursdays.
Yeah. Cleve's over here all jealous, by the way.
Bible study.
There you go.
That question came out of jealousy.
What are the last four numbers now?
He was trying to look at the phone number instead of the picture. So I know your game.
Hussein used to call women eagle eyes. Eh? You see everything red.
We haven't spoken in a long time.
Oh, shit.
So you got some too, bro, or what? Just dudes.
What?
What happened?
You got some pictures too?
No, I'm down to one. I'm just my girl, bros. Man. Just my girl. I'm a single unit just with my girl. That's why his girl's like when I'm on the road with him because they know that.
Like you're stabilizing.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be the one to balance everything out.
It doesn't work.
Somebody asked, can Aries tell the story about how he got Joe Diaz on Matt TV?
Well, Matt TV always gives you props.
Yeah, but I didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, right. Because he says,
bro, it's 1999.
They just went after him.
Yeah,
because
he goes, no, Iron Spears, he came over one day and he made a call for me. Hold on, just let me tell you.
Well, then fuck it. Listen, if y'all know Joey, tell this motherfucker I'm trying to hook up with him, man.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, I just talked to him today. He said to fucking give you a hug. No, I'll definitely let him know.
Please.
Yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, dude. He says he comes back from New York in 2 days.
Well, something he'll just break down. He'll mention your name, bro. Eric Spears.
He said it a couple times to us.
Well, if you can, before we leave, dude, maybe you text him. Ask him. You can give me his number.
Joey, don't text.
He was slobbering and asking. He was slobbering. He had water coming out of his mouth. Bro.
I thought he was Italian.
Nobody can fuck
him. He's Cuban.
Yeah, but he was raised by an Italian family after his mom.
They adopted him.
They adopted him.
Yeah.
I'm going to check out that video on YouTube right now. It's called How to Got My Balls by Joe Diaz.
We produced it.
Yeah, it's not my name.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe Diaz has to be like, bro, nah, bro, 1999, bro.
That's a great impression,
Harris,
man.
Spears, bro, came in there fucking up the room, had all the fucking weigh-ins chasing. They were running out of the room scared.
That's a good fucking impression.
They couldn't follow him.
I'm going to tell you, cocksucker, Kanan wanted to adopt him, cocksucker. That's how good he fucking was, his fucking kid. Who knows, bro? You know, things out there doing this thing.
Who's that?
That's Joey. That's another facet Joe of Diaz. Joey.
I see Joe Diaz all excited.
Like, dude,
he does a level
like
of calm.
Five levels of Joey. Oh, okay. There's five different faces.
What year was it, bro? You saw him?
1975 was his first year. And then I met his mother! His mother! His mother was at my mother's bar. We're basically fucking brothers. We're like twins and shit. DeVito and Schwarzenegger. We don't look alike. I wasn't sad.
Jerry, go to any after parties, after hour parties out here in LA or at New York?
Some fucking dude, bangers,
I'm,
huh?
I'm telling you, man, my days, I'm 44. I really don't have it in me no more.
You're 24.
You know, even when I come home from doing stand up, he's always egging me on to go to the store and go to the haha. And I just, once I'm on the road so much, so when I'm home, I'm done. You know? I'm done, man.
I'm 54, though. You should be able to keep up.
I know. I'm 47. He keeps talking about how 44, like it's 64 or something. Yeah. Like, wow, I should be tired.
I got to give my second win back.
Give this lady a cane.
I'm like a molested child in show business. I haven't recovered yet, man.
You ever been to the mansion, the Playboy mansion?
Oh, yeah, twice.
What's up with that shit, though?
Fucking bananas. First time I went was better than the second
days,
time.
You went during the good days?
Oh, yeah.
The good old days?
Oh, yeah. No, first time I went for the 4th of July party, which is the creme de la creme. Second time I went, I did Tom Likas. He was doing a party there.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Likas. But both times it was bananas, man. It's everything you thought it would be. Everything. Yeah, so it was a good time, bro.
We were there, man. We had a burn victim.
We did. We were at a charity event.
It was a charity event. It was for these guys that got blown up in Iraq.
Wounded warriors.
And there was a guy there who, with all the donations, he fixed their wounds, bro. Like, he gets pieces of other people's ass.
Plastic surgery.
Ass.
Tissue.
Skin grafts.
Ass tissue.
Ass tissue.
Wipies.
So what'd you do when after Mad TV? What you hopped on?
You know, I had about a year and road, a half off. And then I did...
Went on a world trip?
Nah, not really. I did the road for about a year and a half, and then I did The Underground with Damon Wayans, his sketch show, which lasted a season. And then after that, I became a road warrior, man. Sprinkled with a couple of little movies here and there. The Pest with John Leguizamo and a movie with LL and, you know, a little bit of stuff here and there, but, you know.
You do an LL impression?
Yeah.
Everybody does. Not everybody.
Everybody doesn't do a good one.
Yo, it's bananas, man. It's crazy, man. Got an album dropping. It's real sexy. You don't know what sex is like till you mix it with water, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to do
that. Put the hot candle wax on your chest. Let it melt down your nipples and your navels. It's crazy, B. It's bananas,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Lisa braided her hair right now.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Lisa braided her hair right now.
You got to do the licking the lips with that.
Yeah, man. Got it. Just some LL, bro.
I don't think I can do them.
Just some Lord B.I.G. Do it, dog.
Motherfuckers live right here, Bedford Stuyvesant, the livest one. Fuck what you heard, motherfuckers eat turds. Shit like that.
Baby. Oh,
there you go.
Baby delivers. Cold like the shivers. Talk slick shit. Game is vicious, malicious. How I roll through you like a cancer. Doc speak, bleak. Talk about your chances, Biggie baby.
Did you ever meet him?
No. Never met Big.
What the person you met in your life, like the celebrity, where you say, oh my God. Michael Jackson.
Nah, I saw Michael at the Shrine Auditorium for the American Music Awards one year, but never met him. You know, the only people I've ever wanted to meet, Michael Jordan, never met him. I met Muhammad Ali, which was mind-blowing, and Eddie Murphy.
How's that, dog?
Eddie Murphy?
Cool as fuck.
It was weird. I don't know how long you've been in L.A., but back when that place used to be called the Roxbury.
Yeah.
Hottest club in town. I was there one night, and I was up in the top. Eddie Murphy walks in with his bodyguard, and they go sit in the corner. And I knew it was Eddie, because when he came in, he was smiling. He had shades on, of course, but when he smiled, I saw a little baby teeth, the little mini teeth. And I walked over, and I
we got baby teeth.
I told that story on Conan, and I don't think he liked it. It got back
funny
to him.
Dog.
But yeah, I saw him, and I was like, yo, Eddie, man, teeth. I just want to say, and he looked at me, he's like, you the brother one. Def Cotton Jam, do all the impressions. Nigga, you're getting chucky. You better stop. You know, so that was my brief encounter with Eddie. Yeah.
That's when they had the rock, but that's probably when what's the name, punched Charlie Murphy, huh?
Nobody ever punched Charlie Murphy out.
Oh, that whole...
You mean T.K. Kirkland?
No, what's his name?
You're talking about the James.
What the five fingers
Rick
say to the
James?
Hand? Rick James?
You're
yeah. talking
about
oh,
that?
Oh, Studio 54.
That was Studio 54
yeah.
in New York.
Studio 54.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that was the Rick James story.
Yeah, that's different.
T.K. Kirkland, no, we never had him here, right?
No, I asked him, and he kind of ignored it. So.
T.K., you asked T.K.?
Yeah.
Yeah, he, you know.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, there's some stories behind that.
I know.
But did you go on a big Def Jam tour after the show?
You know, we did. The first,
they pay well?
Yeah, at first, but you know, at that time it was more about the exposure because Def Jam was such a phenomenon and it was huge. That second year, which is when I did Def Jam, the tour was me, Adele Givens, Reggie McFadden, Bernie Mac,
Judge
and Bill
McFadden,
Bellamy.
Reggie McFadden, bro.
Damn, dog. It's a killer Army. Fucking line.
Yeah,
bro.
Man. And our last stop was at Madison Square Garden where I got booed off stage mercilessly.
Really,
and that
dog.
Walk, and my hotel was in Times Square, but anywhere in New York is quick when you walk because it's such blocks. That walk back from the garden to my hotel felt like I was Bill Bixby in the Hulk.
What happened up there, man?
You know what? I tried to do a joke I didn't prepare for the right way. Like the thing I did that eventually went on YouTube that went viral and got 14 million hits where I do all the rappers rapping. I just tried to wing it. I didn't pay it the proper respect. I just tried to wing it. And I'm not a rapper. So it was horrible. And then when I said, okay, I need to go in the lab, nigga. So I really wrote the rhymes down and got the impressions and the mannerisms and the cadence down. And then when I did it at that radio station in San Francisco, that's when it, boom, and it took off. Yeah, but I just, it was bad.
How bad, bro? Like,
I wasn't fucking that night.
Cause man, I did a movie called I did a movie with what was that movie called? I'm Dying Up Here. The one we did about bombing with Sully McCullough.
I'm dying. No, yeah, I'm dying up here.
I'm dying up here. Yeah. Huh?
No, it was dying laughing.
Dying laughing. Yeah. Early comedians talk about
the one that Sully produced.
They talk about bombing. What's it like? What's bombing feel like to you?
It's just
it starts off slow, huh?
I hate to say it. It feels like suicide. Like you want to die. Like you just feel like, you know, holy shit. And even when you don't bomb, but you just not getting from the crowd what you normally get, you question everything.
Yeah, mouth gets dry,
like
bro.
I've been doing this shit 30 years, and I'm like, yo, should I be doing this? And it's like, nigga, you got 30 years of work. You done put your time, and of course you should be doing it. But all it takes is one bad show, and you want to redeem yourself immediately. I ain't never boxed professionally, but I always said, this must be what a fighter feels when it's like after a 30-0 record and he get that first loss, you got to get back in that ring. You want that win again. So to feel again. Yeah.
I think Mike Epps described the bombing that it feels like a real bombing, man. A real bombing, man. That shit stick with you for 3 days, man.
It stays with you until you get back on stage.
Yeah. He goes, you'll be laying in bed, man, thinking about your finances.
I don't know if that's true for Mike.
No, but back in the day.
Back in the day, maybe.
He goes, maybe I should have taken this furniture back to Renaissance.
Yeah, it can be
Bobby tough. With no money hurts more, huh?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, have a little bit of a cushion.
That's good, right?
But nonetheless...
But mental bombs, you know, like I feel like sometimes when I'm performing, I feel like I killed, but I feel like it was the same size audience, the last audience, but these motherfuckers were not as loud as the first audience. But then I felt like I mentally bombed, like I said this joke the wrong way today or something.
Yeah, it sucks when you feel like you poured your heart and soul into a bit that you wrote, planned, and somehow it just didn't. The audience just didn't feel it the way you meant it to be felt. But then other times you'd be on stage winging it and something kills incredibly hard. You're like, that?
Yeah,
I didn't even intend for that shit to do that. Like, so, you know, it's tricky. It's tricky.
Definitely.
You ever done stand up?
Yeah.
He does stand up. He's talking about.
He's all quiet.
It's like Johnny Roque. Somebody just asked who else is going to sit there. Not
the worst bomb I ever had actually was here at an all Hispanic club. And
where?
I don't even remember what it was. And this
Sunset Room.
Yeah, it was years ago. It was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. and I'm Mexican and Jewish, and I don't like people to know I'm Mexican until I tell them that I'm Mexican. And the first thing they did is introduce me as Mexican and Jewish, and everything was just fucking done. And I went up there, and they're like, "Nah, this dude," and all he did is look at me like,
"You ain't Guillermo del Toro."
Oh no, yeah. So it fucking hurt. That one hurt. That hurt because I thought, oh, this is going to be fun out here.
Right.
It was my first time in L.A., and it was just the worst week that I probably ever had in my life.
But you can be an old white dude, or I'm not saying you're old, but older looking, grayish. You can kill in a black club or a Latino club or whatever.
I open up for him everywhere.
I know.
Because
he has Chuck Bartel open for him, you know Chuck Bartel?
He slays.
He's 60-some-year-old. He's
Larry
a mystery.
Bubbles Brown.
Larry Bubbles Brown. These guys are both in their 60s. They've been doing comedy for years. And they have this weird, dry, dark humor, and they kill. The audience isn't expecting. So it's always a surprise. Who is that old white guy? They always want, who is George Washington? Because you always call him George Washington on stage. But they'll always ask afterward, and these guys have no social media, barely. Larry barely has one.
I do, so. Facebook.
How'd you feel about the whole Bill Cosby thing when it came out? You were vocal, right, for a little while?
No, not really. I mean, you know, it doesn't change his body of work. It doesn't change the greatness of what he's done.
Ain't nobody giving back those scholarships back.
Right. But, you know,
we saw him.
It's tough.
You know? We saw him perform at 3 p.m. in San Antonio.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was doing the River Center Comedy Club.
Majestic,
then,
right?
Yeah, what? Majestic Theater. We went there. I sat for about an hour and 35 minutes, and I left.
Yeah, this fool got a ticket, and I snuck in.
He fucking snuck in, bro, during intermission.
With the first 10 minutes of the performance, because they had the, you know, they usher you to sit you down, right. And then they came out the side door, because I was trying to figure out a way to get in, but I couldn't get into the front because they had security and cops.
Was this during all the controversy?
No, way before. So fucking the ushers came out to smoke a cigarette, the fucking door flung open, I was like, fuck that. I just fucking shot up there and fucking sat.
You met Tyson?
Yeah, a couple times.
Do you like your impersonation?
He might now, because he's found his feng shui.
Yeah, he seems like he's more humble now. Yeah. He can laugh at himself.
But when I first impersonated him on the Best Damn Sports Show, I was nervous as shit. And he kind of – it was almost like he's looking at you and you feel like you're looking at an unchained lion. It could go wrong. It might not, but it could go wrong. So, you know, he kind of gave me that look where it was like, okay. But, yeah, intimidate dude, man. Human pit bull.
You were an original cast member on that show, the Best Damn Sports Show?
Not an original. They had me on for like 2 months straight because at first I did like a couple of guest spots and they really did well. So they was like, yo, come knock out the summer with us. So for like June and July, I was there every week with the guys, yeah.
Was that after Jerry Maguire?
Oh, way after, okay. Yeah.
Jerry Maguire, did you audition for that?
I auditioned for Cuba Gooding's part.
What?
Really?
Cameron Crowe really loved what I did, but he was like, look, this role is too big for you.
We need a bigger name.
We need a bigger name. But because I like what you did, I'm going to give you the brother. He gave me the brother role.
Hell yeah, dude. Nice. What up with Tom Cruise? You talked to him during that shit or not?
You taller than him?
Not really, but one of the...
fucking Apple Bucks.
One of the coolest motherfuckers on the planet.
Really, Doug? So,
he seems that way, Doug. He's very cool.
He's all
very cool. Very cool. So goddamn down to earth. Very sweet, man. I'm telling you. Real good dude. Yeah. I'm sorry.
None of us believed it.
I'm telling you, man. Couldn't have been nicer. He couldn't be nicer, man.
Did he give you a Scientology pamphlet?
Days of Thunder and all that shit.
Days of Thunder?
Yeah.
Because we're reading this book about Don Simpson.
High Concept.
High Concept.
Are you reading it?
No, yeah, I already finished. I got the truck for you guys. But I was telling you, I was watching Days of Thunder. Yeah. I've been watching Top Gun. I've been watching all those movies.
Yeah.
Except for Flashdance. I haven't watched it in a long time. But
Flashdance.
So let me ask y'all something. Because we talked about this on our podcast. Are there any comedians who you obviously have respect for and recognize that, yo, he's fucking funny, but he just doesn't do it for you? Like I can look at, and I don't want this to sound like some hateful shit, like, I get the brilliance of Chris Rock. I fucking get it. I look at him, I watch him, I go, God, that motherfucker's so smart. Well, damn, that shit is. But it just doesn't make me laugh. Now, that's not to say I don't think he's funny. He just doesn't make me laugh. Dave Chappelle makes me laugh. Gut busting, tear jerk, jaw hurt. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like you can recognize the greatness.
Before Bring the Pain or after? Or it doesn't even matter?
Doesn't even matter.
Okay.
I get it. I fucking get it. But he just don't do I like to bring him in.
Yeah. I think I can see where he's a little stale now. But I mean,
but I don't even want to use that word stale because it seems like I'm saying he's not funny.
Right. He's and you're not. Warm. Yeah, there you go.
He's never done it for him. He's never done it for him.
I'm like, just saying, like, if I sit and watch him, I can go, God, that's smart. Fucking brilliant. But
I've heard that shit.
Laugh.
Right. That gut shit.
Yeah. I don't want to see that. Might sound like I'm hating, and I'm not. I'm just certain comics I look at and I just go,
Well, Gio's a big fan of Aziz Ansari, and I don't get it, you know?
Aziz Ansari?
I'm not. I think motherfuckers that bust me up are motherfuckers like Corey Holcomb, right. Joe
Norm
Diaz,
McDonald's.
This fool. Right. Right. You know what I mean? Right. They're just David funny, Tell. Dog. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dog.
Fool.
Hannibal Buress' first album.
Yeah, but I'm sure you can think of some where you go, I know this guy should be funny. He's funny to a lot of people, and I see that's a well-written joke or whatever, but he doesn't make me laugh.
Like on the way
that here. Show that I did watch was two comedians.
Oh, John Mulaney and Nick Kroll.
Yeah, that special. I don't get it, but everybody likes it.
Yeah, but do you recognize that they're good?
Oh, they are good, but I don't
you
get it.
You just don't get it and don't laugh.
Yeah, because like on the way here,
I
was
think John Mulaney
to XM.
Does that for me a lot.
Same. I was listening here. To the XM and I'm listening to Martin Lawrence and I'm just going,
oh yeah,
God, he just does it. But I know how fucking funny he is.
His show is funnier than...
Like, he makes me laugh in movies.
Yeah.
He has some of the greatest reactions and line, like Bad Boys. He kills me in Bad Boys. But his stand-up, I don't feel for him what I feel for Patrice O'Neal. Patrice, I look at and go, this motherfucker is thunder. Well, Martin doesn't do that to me.
Yeah, look at Patrice O'Neal. He didn't get as much breaks as Martin Lawrence. So Martin Lawrence had to do so much other stuff, like learn auditions, act, all this other stuff. So his comedy, you know,
Patrice was also self-destructive. You know, he's the guy to walk in the room and go, fuck you.
Yeah.
To the head of, fuck you.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's crazy. When
you know,
that.
Yeah, it is. But
another level.
You couldn't deny his raw ability. Just fucking raw, man.
Were you there when Pablo Francisco auditioned for the show?
Pablo Francisco.
For Matt TV.
He was on there for
I know he was on there for a little bit.
You're not there, huh?
No.
It was the first 2 years.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, first 2 years.
Yeah. Like, who didn't do it for you, dog?
Huh?
Who didn't do it for you? Like, I don't get it. Don't say Nick Guerra.
That's his favorite comedian.
I mean, there's a handful of fools, man. You know what I mean? That you just, it's like, wow. But everybody to everybody else are a genius.
Fluffy.
I think Gabriel was fucking super fucking funny the first special when that stuff. But after that, I kind of don't get it anymore.
Just like, I think specials should be an hour and a half.
Right. That could be something too. It's almost too. It's like, all right, he has great personality, but it's like it's just not the magic isn't there for me. Like it left. You know what I mean? I don't know if it might be still there or the fucking caricature. But as far as funny. Do you remember those days? Yeah. Fucking that one time when the devil was on stage, fool, and like even those fools don't represent that much. But he was doing his little bullshit ass special at Casa Latina, and then you were with your jacket, you know, fucking, you know, yelling out homeboy's name, dog, and threw this out, you know, because that's the days when that shit was super funny from the ground up. But I mean, I don't know, it's not the same anymore.
Right.
I mean, I know, and you know, motherfuckers are gonna look at me right now and talk shit or whatever, or whatever they fucking can say. But I'm not trying to be a dick or nothing.
But then that's why I brought that up because again. Yeah. I feel like this fucking political. And again, that's why I emphasize I'm not on some hate shit.
Right.
It's not about, I'm just saying, we'd be lying if we all sat up here and went, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody deserves, everybody's. Yeah, that doesn't mean they ain't not funny. Just, yeah. Anybody
can creep on Netflix and grab 10 specials out of there and go on, I don't understand this. You know what I mean?
Just right. Like a lot of people don't find this comedian funny, but I thought he was funny. Like, I could just name that there's probably the whole room might not find him funny. Neil Hamburger.
Oh, Neil Hamburger is hilarious.
Exactly. Neil Hamburger is a comedian. He's an out. He like, when you talk about alternative comedians, he's probably
beyond.
He's first out. When out started, he was there first. He goes up on stage with seven hardcore drinks on him. He has a greasy ass face. He looks like a child molester in a bad suit, and he does horrible jokes that are funny
on purpose
to his audience. Wow. He does 30 minutes of the worst jokes you're ever going to hear, but this guy can bring in a crowd of 200 people at a bar you never heard of.
Yeah.
He does a bar.
This is his character.
That's his character right there.
Oh, okay.
He's like a bad lounge, hacky lounge act type. He's got a character. That's the thing.
But he's been around for longer than me.
Yeah.
Right.
I've seen him live a couple of times. He's very funny.
Yeah, and he's all like, Warren Repertor and Michael Jackson.
He talks like that?
Yeah, he had a bunch of drinks on his table like this. Right. Fuck you, asshole. Ma'am, did you hear the one about Ring Tin Tin? You know, bad, real bad.
Well, that's almost like with the Andy Kaufman thing.
Yeah, but they don't get it. I get it.
People would look at that and go, genius. Right. Where a lot of people, I'm like, what am I missing, man?
That's what I'm saying. I can't fuck with them.
A lot of geniuses have passed away. Yeah.
The movie was good.
I feel that way about Amy Schumer's stuff. Like, I don't.
That's another one.
I see the jokes and I go, okay, that should be funny. Right. But I haven't laughed once at this. There's several specials. I've been watching. He doesn't watch specials. But I watched a lot of specials lately because we're doing the third special this year. And I've been trying to see what everybody's stages look like and everything, and I can't sit through some of these. I have to turn them off after 20 minutes. I can't get it.
I don't have enough of a career to answer that question.
I don't have a career. Do you like
Flip Schultz, though, when he does that Skippy Green character? Have you seen?
I've seen the show. I get it, you know, but it's an old character.
It's an old character. Yeah. Like that Vaudeville. I love that Skippy Green character. I think it's funny. And a lot of people don't get it. They think
but that's
really
your style.
Not. Yeah, it's a catch skills fucking bit, you know?
Like, there's some people who do, like, Cholo Fit, bro.
Yeah, that's Cheech.
Some people don't like it. Huh. Like, Cheech's joke, a lot of people didn't like it. But I loved it.
Yeah, he's the original one. Mexican with the, mustache and the beanie. Right. Or the hat. Right. Born in East L.A.
What time you gotta get out of here, Aries?
You
gotta get to LAX right now. By LAX by 8:45.
What's your Instagram? People can follow you at.
Everything is my name. Facebook, Aries Spears. Instagram, Aries Spears. YouTube, Aries Spears. And I know a lot of people might not be aware of it, but Patreon. Subscribe to my Patreon. I'm up on that. Cameo celebrity shout outs on the Cameo app. All my stuff is at AriesSpears.com for all that information. Yeah.
Mine's andycomedy.com. All my information's in the upper right hand.
Where'd you grow up at?
Phoenix. Tucson, actually.
Tucson.
Tucson, yeah.
That's where I started, bro. Bugsy's.
In Tucson?
Yeah.
That was a long, long, long time ago.
Yeah. That's where I did with Fluffy left virginity, bro.
It's funny. Joe Diaz was on a podcast the other day. He was going to start telling the story, and then he got sidetracked. Yeah, bro. That's what Gabriel lost his virginity. It listened to the one with Tom Segura. The first, like, 20 minutes that you mentioned it, but then he like got sidetracked. Don't get mad at him though.
Of course not.
That's the whole lecture.
What's up, fool?
You have him write sentences.
So what, do you write scripts? What do you do, bro?
No, I just do stand up. I open up for him and I sit quietly at a lot of podcasts. That's what I do.
I gotta remember to bring you're like Stephen Wright and shit. This motherfucker, y'all don't turn to no,
it's Eddie. Not up to us. I don't know. Like
goodness,
we got heat lamps, bro. We're sitting here like chimichanga.
We're almost done.
I always say that shit. Mom's I'm too God, fat, but now it's fucking hot.
This is hot today.
This is Burr's building, right? Is it Burr?
Pay the
bill. Yeah, the whole Bill Burr and Al Madrigal.
Yeah, so Burr has enough money to put on air conditioning. What the.
I don't know. We just got new headphones last week after two and a half years. Of
nah, like 5 years.
Shitty headphones.
Do you do a Burr? Do you do a Burr?
Not really? I can't really.
You go to Joe Rogan though.
Let's hear Joe Rogan. Let's say I want it.
Joe Rogan and Joe Diaz talking, bro.
Well, I thought that, like, you go to the moon and we're going to discover new stuff. What the fuck you want to go to the moon for, cocksucker? You got a fucking gorilla biscuit over there. You eat it. Jelly, you don't want to go. Fuck the moon and fuck you. I'm done. I'm done.
He's got the face down.
Well, I think we really got to go to the moon. We got to talk to Jeff Bezos. You know what that means in fucking Spanish? It means fucking kisses. And you can kiss my dick.
All right. Where are you going to be at this weekend?
Cincinnati in Liberty. Yeah. At Liberty Funny Bone. Liberty Funny Bone.
I say that. I know where I'm going to be. That's what I did.
Yeah. And next week?
Orlando. You're one of my favorites.
Orlando Improv.
Florida, baby.
My son's graduating from high school. My little dude, True Chaos Steinberg, and we're taking him with us. We're going to Orlando. We're going to go see Universal
Studios. I always
Universal
tell people
Studios.
When they go, yo, where's your favorite place to perform? Anywhere in Southern Florida. You girls dress like you don't like your fathers.
Orlando?
It's like they got stuck there.
Orlando, West Palm, Fort Lauderdale, Miami.
Was there a driver in Orlando?
Orlando. The dude that fucking we're talking about sniping with. George.
George.
George. Oh. It's cool as fuck, though.
I think I had to pick you up,
is
right?
He Middle Eastern?
Yeah. George. Yeah. Mexican?
Mexican?
No, Puerto Rican.
He's Puerto Rican. Okay.
Yeah. And then in July, I'll be in Mi Mami, Florida, baby. Love me, mommy.
Right there in Doral, the city of Doral.
I haven't been to Miami of Improv since they left Coconut Grove. That's like love the new spot. One. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's like 30 minutes from Miami, though, isn't it?
No, yeah,
like 30 minute drive.
But the club is right there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all Venezuelans, bro.
Love it. I'll take it.
Fucking hot and steamy.
Any kind of Spanish, man. I'll take it.
You not married? You have kids?
I'm on my second divorce right now.
Ooh.
Three kids. My oldest is 20. My youngest is 4. And my son is 8.
4. 9.
Man. Baby.
Yeah.
I have dogs.
Yeah, we might be getting another dog this weekend.
You do Richard Pryor impersonation?
Not at all.
You?
Not
too much, dude.
No. Well, I wish to God I could.
That's for Michael Scott. Never
go. Did you do your dates yet? We got to wrap
dates.
It up.
Okay, yeah, people.
Let's wrap it up.
Okay, Comedy Store tomorrow night, people. Comedy Store sold out. Spanish show. It's Thursday, May 16th. All Espanol. Ya está vendido. Ya no hay boletos. Perdón. Also, man, I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv May 23rd to the 26th. Two of the shows are sold out already.
Hurry and get your
Salinas,
tickets.
California, Fox Theater, May 31st. Stockton, California, the Bob Hope Theater, June 1st. Santa Barbara, California, the Granada Theater, June 7th. Austin, Texas, at the
Moody.
But
it's Austin
Theater.
City Limits.
Austin City Limits, June 8th. San Jose, City National Civic Center, June 14th. New Orleans.
Joy Theater,
June 15th.
And there's a lot of brand new tour dates on that tour. Your whole year is almost
done. How many people do those theaters hold?
I don't know.
Depends. Some of them are like 2,000. Some are 900.
Some are 900.
Like the one in New Orleans is small. That's not his market. We're trying that out. But San Jose is like 2,600, I think. You'll sell that out. And Stockton and the other one are about 1,500?
I do all right where every city where the in America where the city starts with S-A-N. San Diego, San Antonio, San Jose,
yeah.
Santa Cruz.
Those are your big markets.
Santa Monica. That's what I always want to do. That's my favorite ultimate gig is not to go to Hawaii or all the exotic places that Lunel goes to in the Caribbean. I like Portland, man.
Portland's a shit.
Portland and Seattle.
Portland's nice, but it's got a nice dirtiness to it.
That's a dirty feet city.
I love eating and going straight to my room to the AC and just getting stoned.
A lot of white boys play ukulele barefoot out there.
Yeah. It is the youngest homeless I've ever seen in my whole life.
There you go.
Little pickled feet and shit.
Right there on Burnside, right?
By where the taco stands.
I saw a guy there, man, like just a regular dude, man. Could it be no older than 39, 41 years old, had a nice jacket, a sleeping bag, and he was just reading a book, bro, in the middle of the street, homeless. Clean, though.
Mm. Dude, I saw this tent, and then this guy comes out, kind of ratty looking, and then this, like, actually good-looking girl came out of the tent. I was like, it's good to be homeless in Portland. Be homeless if it works out
hell
for you
yeah,
like
man.
That.
It's like Coachella-looking homeless.
That's like the ones in New York at Tompkins Square Park. Back when I lived there in the early 90s to 2000, all those homeless people were kids. And then they'd go home for the holidays. They'd leave the city, go back home, beg for money from their parents, and then come back. But they were all in their 20s.
What's up, fucking fool?
Can we shout out this podcast?
Yeah, please. Give it up.
Thank you. Spears and Steinberg, a.k.a. The Jew and the Jerk.
The Jew and the Jerk podcast,
available
people.
Through Google Play, Spearsberg.com, iTunes/Apple, and Spotify, baby.
Hell yeah. Shout out to everybody that came out to Viva Los Jokes last night in Riverside. Thank you.
What's up, man? We'll do an impersonation before you go?
Yeah, what's up?
Do it
What's up?
Do the rap one, bro.
A rap one?
What's your favorite one to do?
I don't really have a favorite.
Dude, you're Denzel.
I'll do Shaq.
You're Denzel, so
do Shaq.
I do like your Shaq, though. Yeah, I like Shaq.
You know, lead us out with some Shaq.
Everybody out there can't enjoy. You know, LeBron ain't in the playoffs right now.
He's
in
LA.
But at the end of the day, as long as the Dallas do what they're supposed to do, they'll be fine. You know, Golden
State. It's like icy hot, bro.
You know, icy hot. It's good for your back. So it's icy hot. It's really good.
Man, did you see that when they clowned on him on April Fools when they were showing the best centers, the top 10 best centers of all time?
That shit was hilarious.
Yeah. That was one of the funniest
videos. He was trying not to be upset, but he upset.
He said, I was going
to
tear up this set.
Man,
he wanted to hide it,
though. They brought that old white dude, man. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Killed me.
Do you still do your hip hop closer?
Nah.
People ask for it.
I shelved it. Yeah.
Do it right here, bro.
Put it to bed, baby.
Rodrigo, do it, bro. You know you still do it.
I never did it.
Hey, do you see, like, what do you feel like when you see young comics and you hear, like, hey, man, you see an old comic who's 52 years old, you know, who started with you. Hey, man, in young blood. I saw somebody doing your Jay-Z all together.
Hey, man, listen, I tip my hat to the brothers that do it well. Jay Farrell's a beast. Hey, Fionn Crockett's a beast. They all beasts in their own right, man. You know.
Nothing but love.
Nothing but love.
Nothing but love, Fluffy.
You know? Hell yeah, dog. You know we love you.
What's up, fool? It's hot in here.
It's fucking steamy.
Got hotter in the last
year.
Thank you for coming to the podcast, fool. Shout out to Arizona. Ask Eric Spears if you got cheese on Matt TV. Bro, you're late, dog. You already talked about that.
What the fuck?
It was all late. Jeff Dunham impersonation. What the fuck?
I think WNBA is going to take him like 30 years.
I do it. My Jeff Dunham impersonation with no puppets. Okay, there it is. What's up,
I got to get high with you, man.
Go check out the podcast. What's up for right the podcast? Now, the Jew and the Jerk. The Jew and the Jerk. Yeah, man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Yeah,